Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Swinging a high drive into center field. Hits at the wall. It is gone! Passes does it again. Again. It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
And he swings and rips one to center field. It's high. It's deep. It's back. It's gone! Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Strike three. It's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
All right, let's go. We're back. Play Tessie, episode 291, here to talk some Sox. Remember, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. You know the drill. Remember, we are on the socials at Play Tessie, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. Sammy's here. Pat's here. Gordo's here. It's like the first Tuesday in a while where there haven't been like 16,000 billion reports for us to like pick and choose what we actually want to get into. But, like, I would say, I feel like the funniest thing to come out of today was the Sonny Gray press conference, to just jump right into it. Like, that dude could not have been more miserable as a New York Yankee. That was crazy. I'm trying to think of a, because, like, guys say the right things when they get to their new teams, and I get that, but, like, I'm trying to think of the last time the Red Sox got a player who was just instantly like, yeah, F the Yankees.
Yeah, he checked a lot of boxes. He said he didn't like the Yankees. He wanted to win a World Series with the Red Sox. He brought a 2007 Red Sox World Series hat with him, which was great. He had a cocky sounds derogatory, but I mean it in a complimentary way. He had a cocky quote about how nobody spins it as well as him. Or he spins it as well as anyone in the game, which I love. So, yeah, man, everything you wanted to hear, he said it. And I know that some people are a bit on the fence about Sonny Gray. I think we're all pretty much in the same boat, it seems. We like Sonny Gray. We think it's a good addition to the team. Just not sure he's your game two starter.
We'll get to that because that I don't know. There's been some new stuff that makes me, I don't know. Like they originally, everyone was like, "Oh yeah, they're not getting anyone else." And now it's like, "Oh, maybe they will." And whatever. Pat, what did you think of the press conference? I'll try to pull up the quotes too.
Oh, dude, it was awesome. First off, his picture popping up with the 07 World Series hat is just incredible. Like that's just a great pull. Could have gone 18, could have gone 13, could have went all the way back to 04. No, 07, the most like forgotten, I would say, of the four, probably 07. So respect the pull, respect the deep bag, Sonny. Quote wise though, I mean, what a monster for the quotes. Like, I hate the Yankees. I never want to go there. It's easy to hate the Yankees. I'm glad I'm here. No one spins it better than me. Like, I wish he was like 25. Like that's my takeaway. Like, I wish this is a guy who like could be here a while because across the board, like checked every single box you could ever want to hear from a trade acquisition in early December. But yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah. Like, he's like, yeah, I bought all of my family and friends Red Sox gear the second the trade happened. And it's like, this is a dude from Nashville, right? It's not like he's from the Northeast and like geographically this puts him next to his family. Like, no, this is a guy who wants to be here because he sees it as an opportunity to win. He can be a veteran leader on a young pitching staff, which is something he valued in St. Louis. And he can play against the team that he hates the most in Major League Baseball. I'll pull up some of these quotes. I'll basically just go to Alex Spears' Twitter or Blue Sky thread. He said,
"Blue Sky, bro."
Yeah, Blue Sky. And now, now Passan's on Threads. We're at that point in the offseason where we're trying all the new social medias before everyone just goes back to Twitter.
That's why I like being friends with you, Gordo. I don't have to download friggin' Blue Sky or Threads. I know you'll just tweet it or put it in our group chat. So you will not catch me on those apps.
Yeah, when Passan like he had like a 10 tweet or whatever it's called on Threads thing, and I didn't catch wind of it for 14 hours. Like, oh my god, brother, we're doing this again. And I had to download the app, turn on the notifications for him. I'll keep an eye if anyone else goes over there or anyone else goes to Blue Sky and just turn on the notifications, because I don't follow anything on the other apps. I just have the notifications on for when people send stuff out because I don't want to miss anything. Like, whatever. But this is Alex Spear on Blue Sky from Sonny Gray's presser. Sonny said, "I wanted to go to a market that is super competitive." He described Boston as a city that he enjoys and where he feels comfortable. He said, quote, "We have a chance to win the World Series and make a deep playoff run. I wanted to be a part of that." Sonny Gray, on how the Yankee experience played into his decision, says, quote, he never wanted to go to New York, but says he appreciates his time there and believes he's a better player and husband from that. Quote, "It's easy to go to a place now where it's easy to hate the Yankees." He says he knows now to be himself in Boston, something he didn't feel comfortable doing in his New York stint. Then he said the quote that you guys referenced, "I spin the ball better than anyone in baseball. That's a fact." He also said he's going to work out with Crochet in Nashville because they're both located there. Like, you can, if you look at the pictures of the videos from the presser, he's got like guitars in the back, like Sonny, like the ultimate Nashville dude. He described himself as, quote, "more Boston than any other place, with a longstanding enthusiasm for the Red Sox, influenced by Vanderbilt coach Tim Corbin and Fenway Park. He was a college roommate with Mike Yastrzemski."
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I mean,
cool.
I try not to get swayed by quotes. Pat and I are very different in this way. I normally just see a quote and I'm like, all right, he's saying this just because X, Y, and Z. But I'm not going to lie. Sonny Gray had me feeling things today. Those were like, that was like a 10 out of 10 Zoom press conference. By the way, aside, I hate the Zoom press conferences. Oh, I missed it. I don't know if Sonny Gray is worthy of like, here's the jersey, here's the media. But like, regardless, I hate the Zoom. They feel so small compared to when you get all those photos of the player in their new hat. I used to love that. You still get it here and there. It's just much less than we used to.
Yeah, for as far as Zoom press conferences go, probably the best I've seen. Just because, I mean, he knocked it out of the park. And like, I had a Yankee fan friend send me, I don't know if it was his introductory Yankee press conference, but it was like back when he was a Yankee, and he was basically, it wasn't the same stuff. He was like, yeah, like, I'm really happy that it ended up going this way and like happy to be a Yankee. And it's like, there is a difference between saying that and being like, yeah, I want to be here because F them. You know,
this was
like,
showing personality. He showed personality rather than just saying the right things and checking off all the boxes the media has to hear X, Y, and Z. Like, he showed who he is, a little bit of attitude. That goes a long way here in Boston. Again, I think he was basically perfect. A perfect Zoom press conference to kick off his Red Sox tenure. How about that?
Sammy, you alluded to it. I am the biggest, like, I just eat up good quotes. I eat them up. I just feast on them. I live for them. To date, I think my favorite Boston one recently is Will Campbell through tears. "I will fight and die to protect my quarter." Like, dude, I'm gonna run through a brick wall. Like, that's still number one. That being said, Gordo, you said it too. There's a difference between saying the right things and then like saying the right things and meaning it. Sonny was like incredibly transparent. Like, I thoroughly believe he said it meant every single word. Where the Yankee one, I saw the video too. What are you going to say? Oh, fuck, man. I really wanted Minnesota. Like, no, yeah. You got to say you're happy to be there. But today to be like, oh yeah, no, I hated it there. Fuck the Yankees. Happy to be here. Like it's so different. And yeah, I'm biting on it hard.
Mm-hmm. There's a difference too between saying the right things. Cause like when he was a Yankee, yeah, he said the right things. I wouldn't constitute saying I hate the Yankees or like I want to be here because I can hate the Yankees as the quote unquote right thing. Like Red Sox fans are going to like that, but it's going to create drama, which depending on the person, I mean, some people live for that, but most guys I feel like want to be out of the drama. They just want to focus on their game. So I wouldn't say saying that he hates the Yankees is necessarily the quote unquote right thing. Whereas like when he was at the Yankees saying you're happy to be there. Yeah. Like that's the right thing. So this is a guy who is speaking, I don't want to say from the heart, but like he's just being his authentic self. And you know, all things considered, he had control of the situation. He didn't have to come to Boston and he chose to do it. Like he could have given the Cardinals a 5 or 6 team list, find a trade for one of those teams or I'll stay here. And Katie Wu of The Athletic was talking about how, yeah, he would have been fine staying in St. Louis and he could have been traded last year, but he wanted to stay in St. Louis because he wanted to be a mentor to their young staff. So it's not like the Cardinals could just trade him anywhere and he was going to just go anywhere.
You kind of just mentioned it there, Gordo. You called him a mentor. He could be that for the Red Sox. And I feel like when you have a 36-year-old, 3-time All-Star who's never made it to the top of the mountain as a World Series champion, it rubs off on guys like, look how motivated this dude is. Even Peyton Tolley today said that he liked what Sonny Gray had to say, specifically about the Yankees, which, again, is awesome. So now we got Sonny Gray, Hunter Dobbins. Now I guess you could throw Peyton Tolley in there. Who else is has a lot of animosity towards the Yankees? There's a few guys on the team, those three for sure now, especially Dobbins. Dobbins is the leader now with him and Sonny Gray of not liking the Yankees. So yeah, it's good vibes, which we've kind of sort of been waffling about the vibes. Like we don't know if we should feel good, but I feel good today on December 2nd as a Red Sox fan. Today was a positive day and you can't debate it. I mean, we haven't had a lot of days like this.
We go through so many ups and downs through the course of an off season. It's like its own little season because during the season we go through the ups and downs of watching the team win and lose games. And in the off season, it's basically like a quote from this guy. Okay, good day. Like, a good report. They might spend money. Good day. Oh, actually, they may not spend that much money. Bad day.
The Blue Jays got
Dylan Cease. Bad day.
Yeah. Sorry. I haven't really known how to feel because we go back to when the Red Sox picked up Sonny Gray. We're all like, okay, good pitcher, but what does this mean for the payroll? Are they going to add anyone? And our brains are a little bit in a pretzel. And then you get the quote about the Red Sox spending or not spending the other day, what we spoke about on the last episode, and we're kind of thinking, we expected this, but this sucks. And we're just up and down, kind of like, should we be excited for the season or angry? I just have not been able to figure out where I am emotionally. So it was nice today to just be like, that was a good press conference. Sonny Gray seems cool. I'm happy about those two things. Let's move on.
And it's good that the rivalry feels like it's in as good of a place as it can be, right? Like, you're not going to get back to A-Rod and Veritek. You're not going to get, unless shit goes down, you're not going to get Joe Kelly and Tyler Austin. But when you got Hunter Dobbins talking shit, you got Cam Schlittler talking mega shit, and now you got Sonny Gray coming in saying, F these guys. And Peyton Tolley and Connor Wong being like, yeah, he's right. F those guys. The rivalry is in a good place anytime both teams are good, which weirdly doesn't happen as often as you would think. And I guess that's kind of the Red Sox fault because the Yankees are over 500 every single year. But both teams are going to be good next year. Both teams have players that have reason to dislike the other side, whether it be the other fans or the players on the other side of the, or just the organization or whatever. I like that the rivalry is where it looks like it's going to be next year. Sox Yankees games should be really fun.
Yeah. And that's what we said when Schlittler said his stuff about the Red Sox. I was saying, God, I hate this guy, but also I appreciate that. It's good. Gets the blood flowing.
Yeah. And then you have the Schlittler stuff, you have the Dobbins stuff. And then on top of all that, you have Bregman, who, if he is back, he's just been one of the public enemies in New York since 2017. So you have Bregman, who is basically been hated for a decade in New York.
you have Dobbins, you have Schlittler, you have Tolley, you have Gray. And then some fucking loser's going to come out of the woodwork for the Yankees. I know it. Oh,
Ben Rice too.
Jazz. Probably going to be Jazz.
Ben Rice.
Ben Rice.
Ben Rice. Ben Rice. People hate Garrett Cole. Like, Garrett Cole's not going to throw shade at the fan base on purpose, but people hate that guy.
You stink, Boston.
You guys.
Hey, Gordo, I like your show, but I don't like the Red Sox.
The fans are they're just too close to me while I'm warming up. Golly.
I, you know that Kermit pick? I was directly behind that guy who had the Kermit puppet. Like, I was 2 feet from that dude being like, wow, this is creative. And then that picture blew up of 2021 wild card game.
That was an awesome time. That was the most electric atmosphere I've ever been at. And I went to 2013 World Series Game 1 and 2018 World Series Game 2. And the wild card game topped them both.
Yeah, that was the best one I've ever been. I haven't been to a ton of playoff games at Fenway just because they're crazy expensive. But yeah, that one was certainly number one. And then, hey, end of the year, 2025, the walk-off to get into the playoffs. Blast. That was pretty sick. That was close. Not quite, but close.
Yeah. Most insane moment I've been in person for was the Ortiz Grand Slam. Could not feel a bone in my body when that happened. And then but the wild card game, I top it in terms of atmosphere because it was start to finish. You couldn't relax.
Yeah. Everyone stood for the whole game. I've never seen that at Fenway where almost everyone, at least in the bleachers, it was literally everyone standing for the entire game. The only time they sat was between innings. So yeah, we need the rivalry to heat up. I think last year was a good start. That was like, I know it was a brief playoff series and the Red Sox kind of fizzled outside of the crochet start, but man, I feed off of that. That is the most, I don't think there's anything in the world outside of like my family and stuff and all that, that I enjoy more than a really heated Red Sox Yankees game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Yeah. Maybe like a steak, like a really perfect steak. But I don't know. Either way, it's great. No, come on. I mean, like a nice dry brine, medium rare.
The one thing I keep coming back to, like, I watched the John Heyman stream thing that he does, and he's talking about, yeah, the Yankees are going to go after Imai. And I'm thinking about the rotation that they're going to have there. And you've got Fried, you've got Cole's going to be back. You're going to have Rodon, who will miss the start of the year, but he'll be there. You'll have Schlittler. And then it looks like they're going after another starting pitcher, whether it be like a trade for Alcantara or signing Imai or something, or they're getting someone. That rotation is going to be really good. And I just keep coming back to, Sammy, what you said before, which we're all in agreement here, is that, like, while we really like Sonny Gray, and, like, don't get me wrong, love the quotes. And he seems like he's going to be a really good fit, good veteran fit for a young staff with a lot of up and coming young arms that, let's be real here. Like, Garrett Crochet can lead that staff, but Garrett Crochet doesn't have the experience in this league that a Sonny Gray has. So I love that he's here, but it's like you go piece by piece through the rotations and it's like, okay, the Red Sox have the ace. But after that.
Yeah. I'm sick of having to see like some guy who's overdosed on analytics explaining why this player that the Red Sox acquired is actually way better than you think if X, Y, and Z goes right and they tweet. Like, I like what the Blue Jays did. Just like I said last episode, they got the best free agent on the market. Great. Yankees constantly signing big name free agents. They don't always work, but Gordo, you said it last episode, safety net. When you sign a lot of good players, doesn't have to all go right. So we don't have to relitigate that conversation. I'm trying to be positive about Sonny Gray because he's good. We all agree he's good. It's just, you know.
The other thing too, in the American League, it just feels like every team that has a strength builds on that strength. Meaning the Yankees rotation was very good and they're getting Garrett Cole back. They're still going to be in the mix on Imai and the trade candidates like Alcantara and all those guys. The Dodgers, and they're in the NL, like that lineup is insane. They had Shohei, they had Free. Like every team that has a strength furthers it by trying to be the best at that respective part of their lineup, their team, whatever it may be. It just feels like for a while now, the Sox are like, oh yeah, good enough. And like they never take that extra step to separate themselves from the pack, whether it be rotation, bullpen, lineup, whatever. Other teams continuously do it. The Blue Jays have been doing it since today's Tuesday's record, about a week ago. Like, great rotation, let's get C's. Decent bullpen, let's get Ponce.
What is that? Like, if you were going to say the Red Sox should add to that to make that a super X, like, which is it?
Oh, rotation, because you have Crochet. So if you add another monster behind him, then all of a sudden you have one of the best 1-2 punches in the league, not just the AL.
You're probably right. And I know that, Sammy, who had the projected, I think it was Fangraphs, was it the projected war of the rotations, and the Red Sox were second? So in theory, it's like if the Red Sox add Joe Ryan, Cole Reagans, Freddy Peralta, one of those guys to the rotation, it's like, oh, they're already projected to be this stud rotation. And now you add one of the top 15, 20, 25 pitchers in the sport. Yeah, maybe they should do that, Pat.
But the same thing could be said offensively. If they only bring Bregman back, they're in Alonso away for making themselves a top five offense in baseball. So like it's very fluid and situational, but it's like they add one to get a little bit better. They don't add a second or be greedy. I guess that's my big takeaway. They're never greedy, and that drives me nuts because they should absolutely be greedy each and every year. And for a decade, no, not a decade, 7-8 years, it just felt like they're trying to be good enough or like good and bank on upside to be better than good. They never get greedy. That's my thing. And it drives me nuts.
Well, it's been since 19. Like you look at where they ranked payroll wise, they were top three in the sport every single year. And Then 2019 happened. They missed the playoffs despite having the number one payroll in the league. And that's where it all changed. And it really did. Because, like, think about it. Going into 18, they were really good. Like, they are playoffs back-to-back years. If the mindset was, we just need a team that can get into the playoffs and then you never know what can happen, they're not giving a 100, whatever, 120, 140 million dollar contract, whatever it was, to JD Martinez. Like, he doesn't get that contract. They do the rotating DH thing and talk about the value of giving guys days off and how it's gotten to them to the postseason. They got to the playoffs without David Ortiz the year before. We don't need the DH. Ugh. Back then, they just went above and beyond. Like, they had a good offense. They had a really good offense. They added JD Martinez to it, and it became an elite number one in the league kind of offense. And you're right, Pat. They're if you add Bregman back, they're another bat, another big time bat away from being that status. And I'm not talking about, like, as much as I like Jorge Polanco, it's a tier above that if you want to get into that elite status.
That's my thing, is like, they had this great lineup. They added JD Martinez. They had already signed David Price. They had a really, really solid rotation. They traded for Chris Sale. They had a pretty good bullpen. They traded for Craig Kimbrell. Like, it just always, and maybe that's just a Dombrowski thing. Maybe that's just Dombrowski's incredibly greedy and I miss Dave. But that's what I mean. It's like, you were a playoff team the year before. Instead of marginally upgrading to hope, like, you know, step forward, bank on upside, yada, yada, yada. Why would you not just put yourself to be in the best guaranteed spot to get to playoffs, World Series, win the World Series, whatever it may be? They just don't do it anymore. I know, it's months.
So, yeah, I was going to say, to answer your question, John Henry told us, well, not John Henry, whoever gave McAdam the scoop, that they don't want to lose money, or which I don't even know if I don't know, whatever.
Dude, that's no, boring. It's not even remotely true. They printed money.
Yeah.
Hundreds of millions of dollars of profit.
Like, it smelled bad when I read that. I was like, what? That can't be. I got to take, to change the subject a little bit, just something I've been ruminating on for a while. I said last episode, I'm 55% sure that the Red Sox add a quote-unquote number two starter, a game two starter, a guy to follow Crochet and be ahead of Sonny Gray in the rotation. Do you guys think that the odds of Brian Bello being traded are maybe higher than we think? Because I don't think he's the number two starter. He just had the best season of his career. He's not the style of pitcher that the Red Sox love. And he's on a pretty affordable, decent contract that you could definitely move. You trade him, a prospect, to a team like, let's just use Minnesota, for example. You give them Bello, they have the team control, and then you give them Arias and whoever. Maybe that gets you Joe Ryan. Just something I've been sitting on. I wanted to ask you guys.
Following that up, yes. I think the chances of him being moved are higher than we think. What's really interesting to me is he a guy that maybe goes, again, taking a step back here. I don't think this is happening in 1,000 years, but it's worth thinking about. The Diamondbacks want pitching for Ketel Marte. Like, that is the kind of package I could absolutely see Brian Bello moving in. I don't see him just being dealt to be dealt, but in a package for a Marte or, like, a legit cost-controlled ace, sure, yeah, which is on the table.
The reason we did go over this a little bit on the post-Sonny Gray trade podcast. We talked a little bit about, like, if they're going to bring in a number two, is Brian Bello now a chip because they've got Sonny Gray as a number three? And I do think the answer is he should be on the table. Whether they actually do it remains to be seen. But to me, I mean, he's making money. He averages around 9 and change against the tax, which seems to be the number they don't care about cash spending. They care about the tax number, which, and then in 5 or 6 years, they're going to care about the tax number, or the cash and not the tax number. But for now, they care about the tax number. And he counts, even though he's only making a couple million this year, he counts for 9 against the luxury tax. So a way to get that number down, if you want to bring in additional salary, if you want a number two starter and two big bats and you need to subtract some money to do it, there's three guys you can look at. We talk about Yoshida all the time. We talk about Duran all the time, but Bello is really the third guy there, a guy that could be moved that makes money. So I do lean towards what Pat said, though, because, like, to me, it's like, if you're trading Brian Bello in a deal for Joe Ryan, it's like, obviously, yes, Joe Ryan is a better pitcher today than Brian Baio, but people forget how good Brian Baio was for how long he was good for last year. It's like, how much of an upgrade is Brian Baio to Joe Ryan? And is it worth sacrificing, I believe it's 3 additional years of control and the additional prospect capital that would be needed to make that upgrade? I don't know. But if that's what's going to get you Ketel Marte, and then it's like, okay, now we need to fill that number 2 starter slot because Sonny Gray's the 3, that's a sequence I could get behind. But trading Baio for Joe Ryan or McKenzie, like, I don't know. For Reagans, that's a different story. Reagans or Hunter Green, those guys are a different level to me. But in a deal for Joe Ryan, I don't know about. In a deal for a hitter, I could get behind.
Mm. Yeah, it would have to be a team that probably a smaller market, not a big spender team, because that's why the contract would be appealing. $9 million against the luxury tax, like you said, that's very affordable for the pitcher he is. Yeah.
And in any contending window, too, because Brian Baio could be a win-now guy. He's also controllable for 5 years, could be a rebuilding team, too.
I think so. You mentioned how much better is Joe Ryan than Brian Baio, and I think we all agree that Joe Ryan's definitely better. But your question is by how much? I'm more so thinking back to when Brian Baio was going to start that game against the Yankees in October. All day, I did not feel good about it. I just didn't have the confidence. He was very good in the regular season, easily his best season he's ever had. He's made big strides. We're all happy about that. But I just did not feel good all day leading up to that game, and then he sputtered and it wasn't good. And I think that maybe that gets shaken off. That's kind of how I felt about David Price in 2018, and he proved me wrong. So it's not like it's purely an emotional thing that I'm talking about right now. But with Brian Baio, I don't know. There's something, he just doesn't inspire a ton of confidence in me in big moments. And that, maybe that's unfair, but that's just how I feel right now.
Well, I think a big part of why you felt that way, Sammy, and we all felt that way. Like going into that start, we didn't know how long Brian Baio was going to make it. And it's because he didn't have a good September. If the playoffs started September 1st, you would have felt totally fine. Because he was 6 innings, 3 runs or less, every single start. You would have felt great about it. But with the way he was going, it just didn't look good. Sammy, come on. He threw like 20 straight really good starts. You're telling me you wouldn't have felt good going in a playoff game?
I would have felt better, but like Brian Baio on the road in Yankee Stadium in the playoffs, I don't think he would have to be really good in the regular season for me to feel good about that. I think regular season baseball is basically a different sport than playoff baseball. And some guys are made for it, some guys aren't. I'm not saying Brian Baio is not going to ever be a good playoff pitcher. Just right now, when your window should be open, Red Sox, I don't love Baio being one of your 3 guys in the rotation if Sonny Gray's in the mix as well. Like that's another thing. Like your 3rd guy has to be better if Sonny Gray's your 2. So
that's true.
It's just the puzzle just doesn't feel like it's fitting with the rotation. And that's why I'm maintaining. I still think they're going to add a guy who's going to slot in between Gray and Garrett Crochet.
I think my take on it is turning into, I think they will. I just don't know if it's going to be before the season or at the deadline. Like, I think it's going to happen, but yeah, the Sonny Gray is really the ultimate safety net for this. Like, I agree, Sammy. Like, Brian Baio, to me, he is good enough to be my number 3 starter, but he's not good enough to be my number 3 starter if Sonny Gray's my number 2, which is more of an indictment on the Sonny Gray process than it is on Brian Baio. Because going into the offseason, we all, I think, agreed that Brian Baio was good enough to be your number 3 starter.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, if they had a, like you just said, if they had a better number 2 starter, I would feel fine about Baio as the 3. It's just, like I said, the puzzle. It's a puzzle, and it feels like it kind of works, but I don't want to feel like it kind of works. I want to feel supremely confident, like we were talking about a few minutes ago. Dombrowski adding to the lineup, adding to the rotation when you think, quote unquote, well, we don't need that. Yeah, you do. You always need reinforcements. Dodgers win the World Series, sign Roki Sasaki, huge role the next year, and they win again.
What do you guys think of the winter meetings? Like, is this going to just be Red Sox targeting a big bat? I know that's on the forefront of their minds, like talk about front burner, back burner. Like, certainly the first domino to fall for the bats is going to be the front burner. Do you think we're going to start to hear any additional smoke on a pitcher trade in the next week? Or is it just going to be, because like, I don't know. My heart wants to say yes. To me, if there's smoke, then it tips their hand to what they want to do. Whereas right now, like, they clearly were leaking that they didn't need to trade for another starting pitcher, and whether that's leverage or a real play. Pat?
So my thing, to answer your question, yes. I think we get like substantial traction, substantial movement in that department. And but I don't think it is to the credit of the Red Sox. I think this year the market, weirdly, is like moving fast in some areas. Starting pitcher is one of them, and the relievers is one of them. So you have Cease, who is signed. You had Devin Williams, who signed. You had Sonny Gray, who was traded. Like, there were like decent to big size dominoes to already fall. So as options are getting slimmer and slimmer here, as the winter meetings roll around next week, there's going to be a sense of urgency on all fronts. So I think the Sox jump into that in the sense of the league is going to be urgent. Shit will get done. I don't think it's going to be the Sox being proactive. I think it's going to be them reacting to an aggressive market.
You want to know what else I think we'll start to hear a lot about at the winter meetings, which I think we've heard a lot of. It's like more so just kind of updates from Jeff Passan, like once every other week. Like, we haven't really gotten any concrete how, like, we know the Red Sox, there was the report from Passan today. Sox are valuing Jaren Duran very highly, like the seven war player he was 2 years ago instead of the four war player he was last year. I think we're going to start to see a little bit more smoke on outfield trades at the winter meetings. And I want to know what it looks like, because the more I lean into like thinking it's going to be Jaren Duran and it's going to be surrounding him, the more I see more and more pushback from credible people saying, hold it, not so fast. Like, they could get a lot more for a guy like Rafaela, and maybe they consider cashing in on that value and considering one of Duran or Anthony in center field. I'm just trying to figure out if the winter meetings are going to be more of like, oh, Duran is going to go, 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 and then he goes. Or if it's just going to be, yeah, the Sox are talking in trades, starting pitchers are involved, all of their outfielders are involved, we don't know what they're going to do, and then pow, we get something. I don't know.
Pow, right in the kisser. I think Duran smoke is what we're going to get a lot of. Got some earlier, and it was basically saying that the Red Sox are valuing Duran very high, as if it's the 2024 version where he was a 7 B-war, I believe, and then even higher on some other Fangraphs war, whatever. Great player that year, MVP conversation. I think that's really smart. I think that there's pretty much no chance a team pays that price for Jaren Duran, but that's how you negotiate. You start high, come down, team comes up, like you meet in the middle somewhere. That made me feel positive about whatever happens with Duran, if and when he is moved.
Yeah, I think the thing with Duran is that's just market price, man. Like, you have rumors coming out of Kansas City that they might be willing to trade one of their starting pitchers for a controllable outfield bat. When was the last time you ever heard a team willing to trade, not from surplus? Like, Kansas City's got a good rotation. They're not chock full of quality arms. Like, when is the last time you had a team willing to trade solid, controllable starting pitching for an everyday outfield bat? It just doesn't happen. So in that aspect, I totally get where the Sox are coming from. Like, wait to lower that price once you're all in the same room, winter meetings. Totally cool, fine. Don't bite on anything unless they blow you away. I get it. That being said, if that price does not move, there is no shot Jaren Duran is traded. No shot. Because you are not going to get 7 WAR value for 2024 Duran after the 2025 and 2023 season that Jaren Duran had. So, happy they're doing it now, but that is a price that realistically, once the market gets moving, is going to have to come down.
What would be a scenario in which Duran, you know, you don't get the value you want and he stays? What would be the follow-up move? Because you don't move a guy like Abreu or Rafaela just because you couldn't move the other guy.
Well, I feel like you have, if you're the Red Sox, you have to be fielding interest in all of them. And you're going to, like, because you're not going to enter the season with all of them, right? Like, you're going to, if, let's just like use like scale of 1 to 10. If like Seydon Rafaela is getting you like an 8.8 offer, and Duran is getting you a 6.4, but you like Rafaela more, like, you're making the decision between those two. Do I give the guy that I like more away for the 8.8 value, or the guy I like less, but I get less return? We've had this conversation. I said, get your best guys on the field, keep the guys you like, get the most for the guys you like less because you're in a win now window, right? So you got to put the best guys on the field. It's not about value as much anymore as it is fitting the puzzle pieces together. I am fine with them holding a high price for all these guys, though. Like even Duran, who I think should be the guy that's moved. You look at what just happened out in Baltimore and LA. Taylor Ward, 2.5-4 season, gets traded for 4 years of Grayson Rodriguez. And now we're talking about Jaren Duran, not a rental like Taylor Ward is, coming off a 4-WAR season, which followed a 7-WAR season. Yeah, their price should be high. The market has been set for a rental, and it got 4 years of Grayson Rodriguez. Yeah, the Red Sox ask should be through the roof at this stage in the offseason. It's early December.
I don't think 4 years of Grayson Rodriguez is as valuable as you think it is. He is banged up. He was drafted in 2018. That's
good,
about
dude. Grayson is dude, good.
How do you know he's good? He hasn't been good in Major League Baseball. Been good.
He hasn't.
I looked at his numbers. He hasn't been good.
Go look at his strikeout numbers.
All right, I'll pull up Grayson.
Dylan Cease, then you can't tell me that Grayson Rodriguez is bad.
Oh my God, are you serious with that comparison?
Obviously, he's not Dylan Cease. I'm just saying the argument for Dylan Cease is look at the strikeout numbers. The rest will come. Grayson Rodriguez can miss bats.
He's been in the league. 2023 was his debut
last year.
Okay, he's started. Where's the game start? 43 starts, 238 innings. He has his ERA is what, 4.11, and his FIP is 380. Like, it's been okay, but it's a first round pick we're talking about. We're supposed to be like
elite prospect. Oh, man.
Yeah, he was drafted almost what? Well, like 2018. What year is it now? So it's been a long freaking time. Seven years.
To Gordo's point, though, like if you take the name Grayson Rodriguez off of that player, and you have a guy who through 40 career starts is right around a 4 ERA and a 10 K per nine, that's a good pitcher for a rental. Like Grayson is not nearly as good as Grayson should have been or should be, but that is still, like, if healthy, a very quality arm for a rental.
Well,
the way I look at it is this, right? The worst case scenario for the Angels is Taylor Ward goes to the Orioles and hits 75 home runs, and he could have hit those 75 home runs for you and you still would have missed the playoffs.
Yeah.
Whereas Grayson Rodriguez, you've got him for 4 years. There's a shit ton of upside there. And all this, it's aside from the point. All I'm saying is you got a ton of upside there for a rental. And it's a guy who's in the bigs. It's not like you're talking about upside on a single A arm here. This is a major league arm who has success and has a crazy high ceiling. Understand the injuries. It lowers the floor. But that's for a rental off a 2.5-WAR season. Now we're talking about a guy off a 7-WAR season and then a 4-WAR season with 3 years of control. Like, their ass should be high.
Shoulder injury, lat injury, elbow injury. Good luck, Grayson.
Hear me out. You just trade Jaren Duran for an all-star starter. Alec Manoah signed a 1 year, $1.5 million.
There you go. Same team. They'll do it again. Actually,
yeah.
It's the reverse.
Actual question though about Duran, if we're talking about his value being high, is it completely insane to think there might be a trade centered around Cole Reagans and Jaren Duran plus prospects?
Okay, can
crazy? I? Crazy? Oh no, Gordo, you can go.
No, you go ahead, Pat. You go ahead.
I was gonna say because mine was brief. Crazy? No. Realistic? Eh. I don't think so. But crazy to see a fit on both sides of that. Absolutely not. I just don't think there's a chance. Chance feels aggressive. I don't think it's more than like 30-40% likely to happen.
Here's my take on the idea of the Royals trading Cole Reagans. They would be batshit crazy to trade Cole Reagans. This is a guy who
co-signed
2 years ago. I mean, he seemed like a top 10 arm in baseball. And then, yes, he got hurt and he was still good. It didn't even matter. Like, he is, like, if you want to talk about co-anchor, like, if you want to take Breslow's words at face value, talk about co-anchor, Cole Reagans, there's, like, if the Red Sox had Cole Reagans, there is, I want to go above non-zero. There's plenty of chance that we get to the All-Star break and we're talking about him being the ace ahead of Crochet. He's that good.
Yeah. I mean, he's unbelievable. If I were a Kansas City Royals fan and my team traded Cole Reagans for a Jaren Duran package, I would smash my head through the wall, burn down my house, and then just go into hiding and move to another country. That would be the... I cannot believe this is even a... I'm thrilled it's a conversation. Do it. Please do it, Royals. Completely insane to consider trading a guy with that kind of upside. It's not even upside, really. He's already done it. We've already seen how good he is in Major League Baseball. This is different from Grayson Rodriguez, where it's pretty much exclusively upside. This is a guy who's... he's been dominant, and it's not like, you know, this guy induces a lot of ground balls, a lot of soft contact. This guy blows people away. It's a strikeout pitcher like Garrett Crochet. If you have those two guys at the top of your rotation, I couldn't care less who your number three starter is. You got monsters in that rotation. That's what I want to see. Do I think it's going to happen? Hell no. I hope it does, though. That would be unbelievable. Then you can't say anything about Craig Breslow. If he gets Cole Reagans for a Jaron Duran package, my lips are sealed.
Yeah, but that's why it feels so unrealistic to me. But I mean, we've seen crazier things. Like Luka Doncic got traded from the Mavericks. Like that happened, so anything can happen. But yeah, to me, I'm trying to think. Take Roman Anthony out of the equation. Take Garrett Crochet out of the equation. Start the offer with Jaron Duran. I'm trying to think. Is there a like could I give the Royals the pick of any other player in the organization besides Crochet and Anthony? Maybe even two. Like Duran, who outside of Crochet and Anthony, who's next in terms of value in the Red Sox organization?
Oh, like Tolley, Witherspoon. Who else?
It's gotta be
Arias. Not Arias.
Rafael is probably more valuable than those guys right now.
True. Yeah, Rafael. I just don't know if,
Meyer,
if teams care about
maybe
the money.
Meyer.
Yeah, I mean they have really valuable people. I would give up Tyson Witherspoon, your first round draft pick. I would trade him in a second for Cole Reagans. Easy. Dude,
I'm just giving this off the dome right now, but I legitimately think they could have from me Duran, Tolley, Meyer, Witherspoon. Like seriously, like this is why it's not going to happen because the Red Sox won't make a trade like that. But that's what the Royals should ask. So, like, the Red Sox will not think that they can make a trade that substantial the offseason after trading all they traded for Crochet. If the Royals are willing to do this for a Duran plus one good prospect plus one mid-tier prospect or something like I'm seeing some of these people suggest, then obviously Red Sox snap their fingers and make that trade. But to me, it's like you need, like, for 3 years of Reagans, like, four elite assets.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, like... Like, what's the most I would give up for Reagans? Like, including Duran. Who? Duran and Tolley and Arias. Would you do that? Is that too much?
Easily, I would do that.
Me too. I wouldn't even think twice.
You could swap Duran for any outfielder, not Roman Anthony. I would still do that without hesitating.
Oh, yeah. Me too. It's Cole Reagans. I mean, that's the kind of guy. You get him aboard, then you figure out the rest after. Like, you trade Will, you're like, ah, shit. We don't really love Roman in that big right field. Bah, he can handle it. It's fine. We'll figure it out. Cole Reagans and Garrett Crochet.
I'll shut up about the 30 home runs if they get Cole Reagans. How about that?
Oh, dude, Cole Reagans might hit 30 home runs. That's how good he is.
Dude, I will, though. We don't need a hit at all. They have Cole
Reagans. Hit.
They don't need a hit.
Be like the 2020... What, four Mariners from 2 years ago where they lost every game 2-1? That could be the Sox, man. That's exciting. Whee!
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure.
or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Riveting baseball. But, yeah, I don't think they're getting Cole Reagans. It's fun to dream.
No.
But it's I feel like he's in the same exact tier as Hunter Green, where it's like really, really, really good pitcher with a ton of control on a team that's trying to compete and definitely should be able to compete within the window of that contract. It just it doesn't add up.
We're talking about Durant.
Like Durant's a good player.
Talking about Cole Reagans, they're gonna salary dump Yoshida, tack on a prospect, and get Mitch Keller from the Pirates.
Dude, no. Oh my God. I saw Mitch. I'm trying to think.
You're such a bitch mouth.
Finally, I think it was in Passan's thing today, said that, yeah, Mitch Keller probably just goes for another high salary, okay hitter. And I'm like, finally, someone is finally saying that this guy's not going to net like a top prospect package. Like, for whatever reason, everyone seems to think he's going to get for the last 3 years. It's ridiculous. He's not good.
He's not good. He's just very mid.
Very average.
He's like Grayson Rodriguez. He's been like Grayson Rodriguez has been in the big leagues. Maybe a little better than that, but
he used to have Grayson Rodriguez's upside as a top prospect.
Oh, we're talking upside. Yeah, I mean, hey, Kelly. I mean, if the Red Sox get Mitch Keller and that's their guy, I will vomit on the podcast.
Okay, good.
I'll just puke violently. It'll be awful. We'll get shut down forever.
Shout out to Mitch Keller. I'm sure he's a great dude. No, but actually, though, should we get to enough said? Anyone got anything?
I was just going to read some Mitch Keller stats.
You bum.
On a way funner note, I can go. I am in love with the 2025 Patriots. Like, every single aspect. Like, there's not a guy on this team. Every year, I feel, even with during the Brady years, I feel like there were guys on the team where I was just like, fuck that guy. Like, it's just people who drive you up a wall. They don't have that this year.
Do you have an example? Who drove you up a wall in the Brady Patriots era? Don't say Albert Hainsworth. That's not allowed.
No.
Marshall Newhouse.
Okay. That guy.
Yeah, almost got Brady killed like on a weekly basis.
I'm trying to think. So, like, Sony Michel.
Super Bowl. Okay.
Sony Michel. Sony drove me up a wall. He
don't say
was
Lawrence
good.
Maroney.
No, he was good 1 year. Otherwise, he was like fine. Oh, dude, Mohamed Sanu.
Oh, yeah, that was terrible.
LaFell, you know, who I had loved? Like a good year, but was never great.
You know who I loved that everyone hated? Stephen Ridley.
Oh, dog, hated Ridley.
He drove.
He was good.
Up.
He just had a. He just fumbled sometimes, but he was good.
Ooh,
he just fumbled sometimes.
I liked him.
Very good one. Oh my God! What was his name?
What position?
Left tackle, drafted out of Colorado. He signed with the Giants.
Solder.
Oh, Nate Solder. He was good.
Hated
Nate
Solder.
What? He was awesome.
Hated.
Get out of here, Pat.
Anyways, the Seahawks anyways, Super Bowl rocked.
Anyways, yeah. Back to my point: the fact that they're like lovable and just completely like great at football is sick. I love that they're physical. I even during the last couple of Brady years, I don't know, there was the Brandon Browner year. Brandon Browner himself was physical, and that made like the whole defense physical. Outside of that, like I don't remember like they're stuffing guys up the middle immediately. They're laying out receivers on these post routes. Like they are so well coached. It's insane.
You probably don't remember, but like the early first part of the dynasty, like the early 2000s, those teams were so violent with Vrabel on the team.
Oh, dude. They're between the three Super Bowls. Well, we had like Brandon Spikes and Brandon Merriweather.
Oh, Brandon Spikes, dude, was sick. That was fun.
Both Brandon Merriweather, Junior Seau was on that team. Like, those guys were killers too. So, but I'm glad that we're back to just being bullies. It's awesome.
Rodney Harrison could hit him too. And did you guys see that thing with Rodney Harrison from this from Sunday?
Yeah.
He, like, couldn't speak. Sammy, go. You'll have to look it up after, but for those listening, look it up. It's basically like he gets asked a question. He's on the pregame for Sunday Night Football, and he is like, sorry, wait, what? And they ask him again, and he's like, yeah, Washington, I'm sorry. And he like just couldn't speak. And then he ended up saying that it was just exhaustion. Like I thought he had a stroke on television. It turns out he was just tired.
He might have had an anxiety attack. I had to give a speech one time, sophomore year of college, and I got up in front of the class and forgot everything I was going to say, and my whole body like started shaking, and I don't even remember what I said. I just made shit up on the spot. Maybe that happened. And then I was afraid to like do public speaking for so long, but now I'm good now. Shout out to doing radio. That helps a lot. Really,
I was
going
to say, shout out to you doing a podcast and radio. Like
The first time we ever did a podcast with Bradfo, I took a swig of alcohol because I was really nervous, like sweating, had to change my shirt just to talk about a Who Says No. Now I'm like, let's go, boys, podcast. So anyway, this enough said is the best segment. Just talk about whatever.
No, I mean it's like we're on the podcast. Like, this is now like a comfort zone, but even like if you're on another show as a guest, like if you, I don't know, like if you're in any other, like right here, I feel like we're really like comfortable at home. But if you're on any other show or you're talking on a Zoom call and like this, like when we're recording the show, it kind of looks like a Zoom call pretty much. But when it's not within the walls of this show, like sometimes your brain just draws blanks because you're trying to like say the right thing. Doing this stuff does help though, and doing the radio helps. Like, I'm definitely more comfortable speaking in front of people than I used to be. I wouldn't have taken a public speaking class. I don't know if you were forced to do anything like that or if you opted to do it. If you opted to do it, like I would have never opted to do it because I would have been too scared.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't have either. Though I only had to give this speech because it was like a end of the semester project or something like that. I remember we all had to do it, but yeah, not fun. Not fun at all.
Sam, you got anything else for Enough Said?
No, I went to the H Mart, which is like the Asian grocery store. And their grocery store is so much better than like Star Market. I just walked around there for like an hour today, just admiring all the different things they had. So, I might become an H Mart guy for good.
Is that what's it called? A chain? Is that the right word?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a chain. They just have stuff like everything they have is from all over Asia. Like they have a Chinese food section, they have a Korean food, a Japanese section. Then they have like stuff I've never heard of and can't pronounce. I was actually asking, I asked the lady about it. It was what was it? It was like a Filipino curry that looked really good that I didn't get. And then I left and I've been thinking about it all day. So I might go back tomorrow and get some curry.
I'm Costco, Sammy, all day, every day.
If they have, I don't know the name of it, the aloe drink.
Oh, yeah, dude. I've had that.
Dude.
It's great.
Holy shit.
With the chunks?
Oh, yeah. Dude, yeah, my roommate in grad school was Chinese, and he would buy it like by the liter. I was like, dude, that's disgusting. He's done it. He was like, dude, just try it.
Yeah.
I must have put it's not calorie friendly. It is not at all.
It's viscous.
So I was drinking. I'm like, oh.
Do you drink the chunks? Yeah. What do you do with the chunks?
Yeah, you drink the chunks. It's like
they just go down.
They go down.
Just let the chunks slide down your throat.
So me being like just an idiot, I'm like, oh, this is aloe. This is so good for you. I started chugging that shit. Dude, I felt like molasses. I'm like, why do I feel like shit? And then I turned
the bottle. 37 grams of sugar.
Dude, I turned the bottle around. I'm like, dude, I'm drinking like 7 sodas a day. Like, this is terrible.
I was going to say, I like those aloe drinks, but I never get them because it's too much sugar and it makes me like tired at the end of the day. Anyway, that's all I got is shout out to H Mart, cooler than Star Market and drink Whole Foods and Trader Joe's.
Drink your aloe. Yeah, I'm not a Whole Foods guy. They don't have brand name chips. Like that's a problem. Yeah. Might enough said, I'm just going to, when we started this show, the Celtics were down like 19-4 or something, and they just took the lead before halftime. So if you're listening, go check the score and tell me that they won. That's going to do it for Playtesty episode 291. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. Remember, we are on the socials at Playtesty on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. For Sammy, for Pat, for Joe producing, it is Gordo here. Thanks for tuning in this one. Peace.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at AboutAmazon.com.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.